Matthew chapter 18 is where I want to take us this morning, beginning with verse 10. In this chapter of Matthew, Jesus is speaking about children. We've been in kind of that theme for the past couple of weeks. Started off with his disciples debating about who's the greatest in the kingdom. And we saw in the first few verses of chapter 18 that Jesus took a physical child and set the child in their midst and told them, unless you become like a child, you're never going to enter the kingdom of heaven. And then from that point forward, when Jesus used the word child or children, we have to remember that he's not talking about a physical child any longer. He's talking about children of God. So that could be any of us, right? Who are saved, any of us who have trusted Jesus, no matter what age, we can be a children or a child of God. We discovered last week that as His children, we need to love each other, right? That should go without saying. We need to love each other. A big part of that is caring for one another, watching out for each other that we not fall to the temptations of the world that would distract us away from God. With that, Jesus warned us very strongly. He warned us to rid ourselves of things that cause us to sin or things that would cause others, our brothers and sisters in Christ, to sin. He told us that we should take drastic measures to rid ourselves of things that keep distracting us or dragging us off into sin. He said if your hand or foot causes you to sin, he says cut it off and throw it away. He says if your eye causes you to sin, to gouge it out and throw it away. That sounds pretty strong. He said it's better to enter the kingdom of heaven without these parts than to be thrown into eternal fire. We need to take Jesus seriously at those words, don't we? And he meant for us to take him seriously. Of course, he doesn't want us to actually remove those body parts, but he's saying that he's using a drastic, you might say, a violent example here to show the severity of sin. Now you think about that for a minute. What is there in your life that causes you to be continually distracted from God? What is there in your life that might cause you to even think about or commit sin? What is there in your life? Examine your life and think about these things. And by the way, we're never too old to have these struggles, are we? Do you really ever get too old to not have struggles with sin? Maybe some sins is not a struggle for you anymore, but there's others. I'll say that as long as you're on planet Earth, you're going to struggle with sin, right? James said in his book, he talked about one of those members of the body, and I'm surprised Jesus didn't use this member, the tongue. He talks about the tongue and how really that church members have caused the tongue, that piece of flesh in your mouth, to be used inappropriately and cause others to stray away from God, from the church. James said in his book that, you know, you can control a large horse with a small bit in his mouth, or you can control a large ship with just a small rudder. And then he says, yet the tongue is just a small member of the body. He said, yet it boasts great things. And in verse 6 of James chapter 3, it says, and the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. Those are strong words, aren't they? James doesn't pull any punches. He says, that tongue that's in your mouth can cause you, are you hearing me this morning? Have I got your attention? It can cause bad things to happen. And you know, something will come out of our mouth so easily, won't it? We'll just say something and oh, if we could get that back. If somehow we could retrieve that and just get that back, what we said. But once we say it, it's said, isn't it? It's out there. I know that I've said some things that I wished I hadn't have. And if you'll ask Susie, she'll probably tell you that. But don't ask her. Now, James, when he was talking about the tongue, he went on to say that we can tame every form of wild beast, but we can't seem to control our own tongue. Isn't that something? He went on to say it's a restless evil. It's full of deadly poison. He says you bless God and you curse people with the same thing. You out of the same mouth comes blessings and cursings. Wow. Wow. Maybe we need to cut that thing out and throw it away, right? The tongue, among other things, like selfishness and pride, has caused some to leave the church. Jesus speaks of that in our focus today, alludes to that in this story that he tells in Matthew 18, beginning with verse 10. See that you do not despise one of these little ones. Now again, he's not talking about a child here, is he? He's talking about believers. You're all little ones in God's kingdom, right? See that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I tell you that in heaven their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. What do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them's gone astray, does he not leave the 99 on the mountains and go in search of that one that went astray? And if he finds it, truly I say to you, he rejoices over it more than over the 99 that never went astray. So it is not the will of my Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. Again, the little ones he's talking about are children of God no matter what age. He said, don't despise them, he said, or don't think of them as unimportant or that they don't matter. If, you know, it doesn't matter if they're here or they're not. After all, we've got the 99 here, right? The 99. Why should we care that one has gone astray? Well, we're all here today, aren't we? Somebody's not. Why should we care? Why should God care? Why would God go to the great trouble to go out and find the one that's missing from the flock? Is it not because God places high value on the soul that belongs to Him? Well, yes, He does, right? He does. He cares about His children. Now consider the story that Jesus tells. If a man has 100 sheep, one of them goes astray, he says, does he not leave the 99 on the mountain, go in search of the one? Are you getting that video I played earlier, the one? A shepherd is responsible for the sheep that belong to him. I'm talking about a shepherd who tends sheep. They belong to him. If one is missing, the shepherd feels it. If one is missing, the shepherd knows it. If one is missing, there's a wanting in the shepherd's heart. Something is lacking. The shepherd feels the absence of that one lamb. The shepherd goes in search of the one because he can't just sit with the 99 week in and week out and have no concern about the one who's went astray. Know what I mean? You know what I mean? God feels it. There's a wanting in God's heart. Whether or not you and I feel it or not, God feels the absence of the one that's gone astray. I told you last week that Clay and I were standing back there at the Sunday school board back here in the hallway. Says how many, you know, attended Sunday school this week and last week and so forth and so on. And at the top of that board, and you know, I'll have to confess, I haven't paid much attention to that because a lot of churches have those boards, you know. And I'm not saying do away with the board, don't get me wrong, but up at the top of that board, Sunday school, you know, total members, 195. And I looked at Clay and I said, where are all those people at? I'll bet you the FBI would have a hard time finding all of those people. 195 people, where are they all at? And it got me thinking about they're probably, you know, for various reasons, some of them have moved off, some of them so forth and so on. Various different reasons. But you know what? There's probably some in that 195 that should be here right now, don't you think? There's some, and I'm going to dig a little deeper into this thing. I want to dig into a little deeper and find out for myself. I think I'm going to have Joe see if she can come up. Wouldn't it be sad if she couldn't even come up with the names of the 195 that's on that board? I don't know. But I'm going to ask her, and I'm going to dig a little deeper into that because I want to know where are they all at? Because usually we have between 30 and 40. Where's the other? Of course, that's typical. You say, well, that's typical Baptist church. You know, you have a million on the roll and only 10 show up. That, but don't you wonder about the one? Don't you wonder about the one? You know, each one of you, while I've been talking about this, you've thought of one that should be here, right? Just one. Like Johnny Hunt was talking about on that video a while ago, just one. Why not this year make him or her that one for you? Just work on that one, reach that one, and you may have to make, you may have to admit that mistakes were made, the reason they've not been coming, or you might have to say it's your fault, you know. But just work on restoring the one, right? The one. Verse 13 said that when the shepherd finds the one, that he rejoices. Wouldn't that be joyful if all of us found the one, and because we tried, they came back. They came back. Because the one, the shepherd rejoiced here because the one who had gone astray was restored. Wouldn't that be great? God's will is that everybody that's supposed to be here is here. Now, Jesus said that it's not the will of the Father who is in heaven that any of these little ones should perish. Now, who's he talking about? Is he talking about a bunch of kids? I'd love to have a bunch of kids running around here, for one thing. But he's talking about his children, right? I'm a child of God because I trusted Jesus as my Savior. If you've trusted Jesus as your Savior, you're one of the children that he's talking about, right? And the one that you thought of, if they've really trusted Jesus as their Savior, there's something missing in their life as much as there's someone missing in our life, right? And so why not? Why not look for the one? Just pray about that. You say, well, nobody really comes to mind. Or somebody that came to your mind, you might be saying, oh, no, there's no way. You know what? I'd never go talk to that person, and they won't have anything to do with me. But if you pray about it and God keeps bringing that person to your mind, guess what? We need to muster it up and go, don't we? Need to muster it up and go. So who's your one? Who's your one? Let's think about that and pray about that. And as the story says that Jesus told, when the one is found, there's great rejoicing, right? Would you stand with me and let's go to the Lord in prayer?